Clayton. John Clayton.
And now, I'm done with my segment.
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
We're talking football with the professor, John Clayton, as we do every day at this time with Bob, Dave, and more. If you guys have questions for John, text them in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. We'll try to get to your questions before we let him go for the day. Hello, John.
Hey, busy day today, huh? Tuesdays are always busy.
There's a lot going on. Before we get to some of the stories going on around the league, how concerned are you about the running back position for this team being as right now DJ Dallas is the only one not dealing with any sort of injury situation?
Very, because it's a different type of way, but an even stranger repeat of what you saw last year. Because remember, you know, the Seahawks closed the season with Week 16 home game against Arizona, and then of course the last game against San Fran, and of course here it is, Arizona this past week, San Fran this week, and all the running backs are maybe gone, and that's bad. And so doesn't look like CJ Procise is on the target because he just re-signed in Houston on the practice squad, and so if Seattle wanted him, they could have signed him today, but he wouldn't have been able to play on Sunday. So it looks like he's not in the mix. And so, yeah, it's very concerning, even maybe more so than last year. Now, again, I guess the good thing is, you know, at some point Carson comes back, whether it's this week, next week, or whenever. Hyde's going to probably have to gut it out with that hamstring injury, and they got to see how bad the injury on the knee is for Travis Homer. But no, this is very concerning because, you know, it's nice to say, as Pete did, we have to be creative with the running game, but creative with what?
How much damage does this do to Chris Carson's case? He went into this season, a contract year, trying to prove he could be durable because he's missed time each year. And not that it's his fault by any stretch, but he got hurt again. Mm-hmm. And if he misses time, do you see the Seahawks going, you know what, we can't afford to commit to this guy, any sort of big-time deal?
I think it kills his chances of getting a long-term contract. It still puts him in a position, you know, as a franchise guy, because the one thing would be, you know, depending on where it is with Rashad Penny, if Penny's fine, then they may say, okay, Chris, we're just going to let you go, and the franchise number is going to come down because of the change in the CBA as far as what's going to be the count for the cap. And so, I think it kills any kind of long-term deal just because, again, you know, you can't trust the fact that he's healthy. I mean, hey, we watched it in a major way, even probably more so with CJ Procise, and you know that Carson's so much better than Procise, but in the end, it's like you got to stay healthy because your availability on the field is the most important thing.
John, Bob and Jim were talking in the open about that you got to bring people in, you know, get some talent. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate as far as defensive players. You know, maybe you need to save things for later on in the, you know, if you make a big move. Where are you on that? Do you think they need to bring in more talent defensively? Is that the answer?
I think they need to bring in a pass rusher. I think you can see today they made the move that Anthony Rush was cut at defensive tackle. So that kind of tells you that Damon Harrison should be on the field this week in some degree. So I think that does tell you something. But also what it tells you is that they still, I mean, when you go 48 passes by Kyler Murray and not get one quarterback hit and only get one pressure, that's not good. And so, you know, you'll get more pressures on Jimmy Garoppolo, but it puts him in a position, and because you're running out of time because the options aren't there. I mean, Everson Griffin, remember we talked about the idea of what was going to be going for a draft choice, and it turned out exactly like I thought, a sixth round pick. And so he ends up going to Detroit, but they've got to come up, I think, with another option, because right now, not knowing when Daryl Taylor is going to be back, they will get Rasheem Green probably back this week, but here's the other problem. This is why they couldn't do anything, at least immediately, with Griffin, is that the Seahawks only have $1.3 million of cap room right now. They're the lowest in the league. Now, does that panic you? No, because you can do something and maybe trade Jacob Hollister. I don't know about he didn't get anything for B.J. Finney. You can do some things there, and if necessary, you can go to Bobby Wagner. You can go to another player and try to get some kind of relief as far as just replace base salary with signing bonus and do that. So you can do that at moment's notice, but in the end, I think what you're looking at is that they still need more pass rush help.
Well, John, of these names we've been talking about, Carlos Dunlap, Ryan Kerrigan, Alden Smith, Clay Matthews, Takaris McKinley from the Falcons, which seems not necessarily like the best option, but one that might work for Seattle the best?
Let's put it this way. If they couldn't afford necessarily, I'm not talking about the draft choice. I'm talking about just the cap cost on Everson Griffin, because he's now going to be a little over $3 million over the cap because he got a one-year $6 million deal. I mean, they can't do Dunlap. They can't do Kerrigan. I mean, these guys have, you know, 10 or $11 million base salaries. And sure, you may have it, but it's not going to do you any good. So that doesn't work out. McKinley could be an option because, again, he's a former first-round pick, and if they're willing to give him away for a sixth-round pick because they're not going to re-sign him next year, then that could be an option. But I thought the first option was going to be Everson Griffin, and, you know, it didn't seem to be in the eyes of the Seahawks, but it was in the eyes of others because, again, you know, he's got such a lower base than some of these other players.
As far as cornerback goes, how do you feel about that spot, John? Because it seems like Dunbar may be dealing with injury through the season. We're not sure. We'll see what happens with Shaq Griffin. He's coming off concussion, and he's got a hamstring issue. And Trey Flowers, frankly, has just looked as bad as you could possibly imagine for a guy who really showed a lot of promise his first 2 years. So I don't feel great about the cornerback depth either.
Well, and I'll tell you, there's a sleeper name that's out there that, you know, you don't hear much about him, but a guy that they really believe in, and that's DJ Reed. You know, DJ Reed was a cornerback, returns guy for the San Francisco 49ers, and he got an injury, and so he was on the injured reserve list, and they waived him injured, hoping to get him back, but now Seattle put the claim in on him, and I know that he's close to coming off that injury list, and so I think you can look and see that that's one addition that they're going to make, and you know, where he fits into the scheme, we'll have to see, because he has to get on the field and do some things, but I think that, you know, DJ Reed is a player that what you're looking at is might be able to help, because again, he was, you know, he now, I think, could be available pretty soon.
Hey, John, pretty cool story with Dez Bryant saying he tweeted out he can't stop crying. He's signed to the Ravens practice squad. Hasn't played since December of 2017. Mm-hmm. You think he makes his way onto the regular roster?
It'll take a couple weeks because, again, you know, has been out for so long, so he's going to need some time to get into football shape and all that stuff. But at least he knows he has a job, and at least he knows there's a future there. And so at some point, I think they'll get him on the active roster. Not immediately, but you know, get him to a point where he can try to do some things. By the way, when you're speaking about the crying thing, remember how Zach Allen came over with that ankle injury and was crying on the sideline?
Oh, the Arizona Cardinal.
The Arizona Cardinal. Well, he just went on injured reserve.
Oh, shoot.
So he's crying, too.
Well, the other one was Kenyon Drake. Yeah. Do we find out what happened?
It's a high ankle sprain. And
oh,
so,
okay.
You know, I don't know if it's a – it's, you know, normally that could be 4 to 6 weeks. This one may not be as bad, but he's going to be out at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Professor, I'm curious about the state of the 49ers. They're hard to figure out. Maybe it was just
California.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist. It's like, sorry, Jim.
Good one, Professor. I really enjoyed that. Okay, so what are they good? Are they bad? Are they in between? What's their injury state right now?
Bad. Really bad. I mean, where it's so bad is that, you know, they – have Debo Samuel went on injured reserve, so that's not good. So he's going to be out at least 3 weeks, and they're really short at the running back position, at wide receiver. Then at running back, they had a great game out of Jeff Wilson. Well, he got a high ankle sprain. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, so he went on injured reserve. You know, their two starting safeties, you know, Tart and they're injured. We don't know where their status is going to be. So no, it's not good. I mean, they've got some real issues right now at that. So you know, stay tuned there.
Professor, what in the heck happened? Did I misread the box score? I saw that Jamar Taylor, who was a nickel guy here in Seattle, mm-hmm. had two interceptions in the New England game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, one, he gets to thank Cam Newton, who's playing horrible, and two, it's you know, kind of a big surprise that you know, he was able to do that. But hey, good for him. I mean, you know, Cam was throwing it all over the place. I mean, and so far, you know, and he's been horrible since the Seattle game. I mean, 7 interceptions and 2 touchdown passes, and you know, he completed 7 of 17 on Sunday and got benched, and he's really feeling the heat. So in the end, we'll see.
That's like your Chris Taylor, Jim.
Yeah, very much so.
Another player for Jim to hate. John, it seems as though Jerry Jones is starting to feel the heat. I want to play this cut for you. You may have heard it. He was on with Shannon, RJ, and talking about leadership out there.
Does your team have a leadership void?
We're in the offensive line. Where
overall,
where,
when
seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
I'm asking.
Well, just shut up and let me answer. No.
He seems a little edgy. John.
A little bit, yeah. That does sound edgy, and he did come back apologizing afterwards because he lost it. But, I mean, you know, think about how bad he's got to feel. They're arguably now the third worst team in the league behind the New York Jets and Jim's Jacksonville Jaguars. And, you know, now you're down to Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert at quarterback. And so you're down four starting offensive linemen. Ezekiel Elliott, it's a fumble waiting to happen. And, you know, you got a coach right now making $9.5 million, and the players are really seemingly against him. So it is a bad situation.
Hey, John, how about this, the Brian Greasy cut? If we can play cut number five, he's talking about what he was told by Foles on the Monday Night Football production meeting.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
Holy smokes.
Wow. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Doesn't sound like a good communication going on.
No, I mean, and you know, and I know that Nagy has been yelling at his offense for the last several weeks, but I think they've got a lot of yelling period. I know they're 5-2, and you know, you say, well, hey, well, they're 5-1 coming into this week. They're really good. Well, no, they're not. They're one of the six worst offenses in the National Football League, and they're wasting a great defensive effort. Now, again, the defense keeps them in a spot where they can still win, but it's going to catch up to them because as bad as they are on offense, they don't have anything in the running game. Their offensive line is bad, and it seems like Foles is not on the same page with Nagy, which is not a good thing.
John, I got a kick out of it. I didn't hear the audio, but I saw what Doug Marrone had to say in Jacksonville today. He's all fired up, Professor. And he goes, I know that I shouldn't be fired up. We've lost six in a row, and I know people are going to mock me, but let's go. I'm thinking out of the box. Boy, I guess he's pretty desperate these days there in Jacksonville.
Oh, absolutely. And he's got to be desperate because, you know, the way this season has gone, I mean, he's one of the candidates on the hot seat to get fired before the end of the season. Now, again, what do you do to replace him? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. And, you know, it keeps him in the mix as long as they keep losing to get Trevor Lawrence. Sorry, Gardner Minshew. But, you know, again, it's like it's such a bad situation. But they're so bad. I mean, we're saying this. And, again, I thought that Garner does a good job of putting up good numbers, but he can't win a game with that team. In fact, with that team, as bad as the defense is, I don't know who could win a game with that team.
John, are you getting the sense that the Texans are ready to part ways with J.J. Watt?
I think that they would if there's an option, but I don't know what option it would be. I know, for example, you know, he'd love to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, again, he'd like to stay a Texan all his life. He's a loyal guy like that, but I think that, you know, they've got to look because of their cap situation to figuring out. But then if you get rid of J.J. Watt, then you have even less on defense. I mean, they can't stop the run. They're no good. They have no pass rush, and, you know, it's an abominable team right now. That's the thing. I mean, I say this, and, you know, I keep talking to front office people around the league and saying, have you ever seen more haves and have-nots? And they said, no, we haven't. This is one of the most amazing years for haves and have-nots. And there's so many have-nots.
John, 509 wants to know if you heard anything about Earl Thomas. No. What's going on?
Nope.
Nothing going on there.
Zero.
That's
how surprising is it that nobody took a run? He must have really done damage just in terms of his rep around the league for a guy with that level of ability still to be hanging out there with defenses needing help.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he had, because again, it's like whatever bridge he burned, I mean, you know, to a point where in Houston, they took a vote and the vote said that we don't want this guy. The players took a vote and they said, no, we don't want him.
Professor, how about some praise for Johnny Hecker today?
Oh, great. I mean, local guy, did a great job. And don't you get the feeling, because I mean, you know, as great as he was placing, what, 5 inside the 10-yard line or 5 inside the 5? Incredible. He'll be the special teams player of the week in the conference. But also, I mean, you're seeing the same thing out of Michael Dixon. And so it's just kind of great to see these two kickers do what they do.
John, the 253 says, please tell me that if the NFC East champion gets to host a playoff game with a 6-10 record, that the league will do something so this doesn't happen again.
I hope they don't, and I don't think they should. And the reason I say that is that as bad as this is, you know, the NFC East is still one of the most watched divisions in football. You know, that first game in the division between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, as bad as that was, drew over 20 million viewers. And you notice that as bad as the division was last year, they still put so many games on prime time. They got like the Giant game this week, or the Dallas-Philadelphia game is going to be that. But it makes too much money for them to change it. And also realizing it would take away the division rivalries. And the division rivalries are the things that make this sport so good because you play them. And of course, yeah, they'd still be playing in the division. But again, you want to have the reward, even if it's not a reward, of having the chance to win a division. It just would take away too much, and I don't think they'd ever do it.
Hey, John, you know, when we played the Dolphins earlier, we talked about how much money they have tied up into their corners, and I guess there was some talk about Xavier Howard possibly being traded, but they're saying they're denying that. Where did that rumor come from, do you think?
Like some rumors that are bad. I mean, you know, I think that they're still trying to, where it came from, who knows. But again, I just don't see it being true, you know, particularly, they're trying to, stay in a playoff race, if you want to call it that, at 3-3 with not a very good team. And if you get rid of one of the high paid cornerbacks, because they got the two of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league, you're making yourself weaker and not better.
John, the Seahawks have the best record in the NFC West, but are they the best team in the division?
I still say right now, yes, but I think you have to be concerned because they have lost to Arizona, and the Rams look good. I mean, I know that offensively, they do enough. Maybe not as much as they did a couple years ago, but they're still able to get the good running game going. The offensive line bounced back, and that defense has just been surprisingly good. You know, again, we don't know the names of these players, but they're doing a good job.
What's the attitude around the New England Patriots locker room? I'm seeing that their captain, longtime captain Matthew Slater, said didn't like what he saw in that game against the 49ers, suggested that they weren't trying hard enough in a game that... You know, it's weird to hear those sort of comments centered around a Bill Belichick coach team. What do you think's happening there?
I just think it's all kind of falling apart. And what you're looking at is Cam Newton's playing horrible. That's one of the slowest wide receiver groups other than what we saw last year in Philadelphia. The tight ends, I mean, that's why, if I'm John Snyder, I'm calling over to Bill Belichick to say, you give me a seventh for Jacob Hollister? I mean, what? Jacob Hollister came here, started out in the practice squad. He ended up with over 40 catches, more than the three combined tight ends on last year's team. And the three tight ends on this year's team have, like, 7 or 8 catches. And so there's nothing there. You can see defensively, it is catching up to them with their front seven, losing, four of the top five linebackers, Danny Shelton in that, and then having, Bo Allen, one of the main guys that they signed, injured. I mean, it's all kind of falling apart. And now the rumor comes out that if they can get the right price for Stephon Diggs, their best defensive player, they would trade him. I mean, they're 2-4. They go to Buffalo this week, and they're almost on the verge of being a seller as opposed to a buyer. But, of course, they have to do the selling pretty fast because the trade deadline is Tuesday.
So I guess that means that, everybody wanted to, determine whether it was Bill Belichick made Brady or Brady made Belichick. Right now, Brady's having a much more successful season, despite his rickety old age, Jim. And Belichick is really struggling there.
Yeah, but, I mean, again, it's like, they both were so good together, and separation is now, leading to a bad Patriot team and a very good Tampa Bay team. It's just kind of the way it goes, and, somehow Belichick will figure something out, but I don't know if he's going to be able to figure it out for this year.
How much longer do you think he coaches, John?
I'd say probably 3-4 more years.
Yeah. Enough time to, possibly prove it to himself that he can do it without Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he'd probably take one more Super Bowl run. He's got cap room next year like crazy. He gets the 8 guys that opted out. They're available to him if he wants those guys. And so And then he's got to figure out what he wants to do and what's he get a quarterback. Does he go with Jared Stidham? I think you can see right now the way Newton's playing, they're not going to bring him back. And yeah, you know, my thought was, even if he got them to the playoffs and lost, that they probably wouldn't bring him back anyways. They'd probably want the compensatory pick that they would get if somebody signs him.
You know, I forgot about the opt-out list. Wasn't Dante Hightower on that list?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a few other that were pretty good players, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they, you know, again, that's what killed them, because, you know, here it was, they lost, you know, guys in free agency, Harmon at safety, you know, they lose Kyle Van Noy, you know, they lose Jamie Collins
yeah.
Danny Shelton, and then all of a sudden, boom, eight guys go out on the opt-out, and it just paralyzed them. I mean, again, I thought they were going to make it through because I thought the signing of Newton would keep them in the race. But, you know, come Sunday in Buffalo, I mean, now we'll find out if, you know, they're just going to be an afterthought or they're going to be a player.
John, what's the latest with Christian McCaffrey? Is he going to play Thursday night against the Falcons?
No, it's too soon. I think that that he put him on the return list. I think he's one more game away. And so I think he's going to be back more next week than it is going to be this week. Too short of a time.
John, the 253 wants to know, is Bobby Wagner playing anywhere near his $18 million contract?
Yes. I mean, he's good. I mean, remember, don't worry about the money, okay? I mean, it's like, what, are you going to cut him? I mean, he's already made, you know, he's already guaranteed the base salary, and he's still, you know, a Hall of Fame type of middle linebacker. So it's like, you know, don't worry about the money, worry about the play.
Well, I don't think they're worried about the money as much as is he living up to it. Is he playing at that level, in your opinion?
Maybe not the $18 million, but of course, when you're on the 32nd ranked defense, I mean, who is playing up to their numbers?
Yeah, but when you make that much money, don't you expect him to make a bigger impact than he has?
Well, where is he right now? Is he still the leading tackler on the team? I mean, that's an
impact.
Yeah,
but where does he make those tackles?
Well, I mean, makes them, you know, a lot of those tackles are key stops that he makes, and so he makes them there. But, you know, it's okay. Like, if everybody's going to start turning on Bobby Wagner, you might as well just turn your eyes and just shut your eyes and not even think about the season.
Who's playing the best on this defense right now, you would say? Because I talked about Benson Mayo. Yeah. I think KJ.
I would vote for KJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, even though you don't see much of him, I think Diggs is doing well. I still like what I see from Benson Mayoa. You know, Reed and Puna Ford, particularly Reed in the last couple of weeks played well. Puna Ford, I think, is doing well. But it's the pass rush that's missing.
Professor, I'm reading from Brady Henderson's Twitter. He covers the Seahawks for ESPN.com, talking about Jordan Simmons filling in for Mike Iupati for the second straight game. He's got the seventh best pass block win rate of any NFL offensive lineman, which is third best among the guards. Should Simmons be a permanent replacement for Iupati?
I think it's got to be a consideration because it's working out well. I mean, you know, people wondered about Damian Lewis and how he would do, and he's done exceptionally well. I think Brandon Shell, even though he's had a couple penalties in the last couple weeks, I think he's done well. But I think overall, yeah, I think you look at you know, what's there, and it's like, okay, you know, Jordan Simmons, because you know they liked him and they put him out there at times last year in the limited time he was on the field, and he really, you know, didn't know what he was doing, but he did some good things. And so I think what you're looking at is the possible starter of the present and possible starter of the future.
John, good stuff. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, if you missed any of today's Cold Hard Facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill, download the podcast at 710sports.com.